The Anton Savage Show with Kearys.ie on News Talk.
Tánaiste Micheál Martin joins us this morning. Good morning, Tánaiste.
Good morning.
Now, before we start, just to get a reaction to you, obviously we were talking earlier on about that horrendous attack in the Westfield Bondi Junction shopping centre in just outside the outskirts of Sydney. Obviously an awful lot of Irish people, both on tourist visas and a significant amount of Irish population across Australia and in Sydney. Horrendous attack.
Horrendous and terrible shock at the news. My understanding, 5 people killed, young baby amongst them, a man randomly stabbing people to death in this case. And it's a reminder of the far more threatening and insecure world that we live in. When attacks of this kind can happen without any warning. And of course, all of us, we all know people who are in that district right now, family and friends and so forth. And that's the immediate thought. So our thoughts are with those who are now bereaved and who have lost loved ones in this horrific attack. And I think it's for obviously the police and so on who will investigate this morning. We will learn more about it and the background to it. But I think it does mean overall these type of attacks are increasing and we need to analyse more, reflect more on what's the background to all of this.
And obviously at this point, we don't know the motivation for the attack, but if more information emerges, we will obviously bring that to you throughout the programme. Now, you are currently in the midst of the Ardesh. You are giving the leader's speech this afternoon. It kicked off last night. It kicked off last night with you giving an address wherein it seems that you have taken up Leo Varadkar's mantle of being responsible for attacking Sinn Féin.
Well, it's not to be responsible. I think in a party audition, it's very important to lay out the particular philosophy of your own party and contrast that with those who want to get into government, namely Sinn Féin in this case, and to point out, particularly in terms of its anti-European Union stance consistently, and we've seen a resurrection of that in the last 2 weeks from Sinn Féin.
Is that what the grassroots care
also,
about?
Well,
Sinn Féin's EU attitude?
Well, it'll be European Union elections coming up. And so there's a context to this. I mean, this Ardesh is taking place 2 months before the local elections and the European elections. And we've Barry Andrews and Billy Kelleher going forward. We have Sintanini Voracu, outstanding broadcaster in her day, teaming up with Billy. We've Barry Cowan, along with Niall Blaney and Lisa Chambers. So we have a very strong team going into Europe. And I think it is, and Europe does matter. I mean, you say, that's exactly what I was saying yesterday. You're saying, do people really care? We should care about Europe.
No, what I'm asking is, do your grassroots care about Sinn Féin's attitude to Europe? Surely it is your policy you should be discussing.
I've identified about 4 MEPs who are so negative about Europe, who keep attacking Europe. For Irish jobs, access to the European market is critical. We need a strong European Union. We need a reformed European Union. But Sinn Féin need to get with it and stop being a tiger daw hive in respect of the European Union.
But will your candidates not be saying, stop giving them airtime, stop giving them attention, you're doing the opposite of what we need?
Well, last night we had a wonderful health, which I wanted to talk to you about, which Stephen Donnelly and Mary Butler presented. But more interestingly, on the panel then, you had Councillor Teresa Costello talk about her breast cancer of 10 years ago, went to St. James's, got great treatment and came out the other end. And in terms of mental health impacts on family, Gail Dunn, for example, who's awaiting a kidney transplant, and the human tissue bill that has now gone through the Dáil, which changes the whole organ donation sort of equation insofar as it's an opt-in now it's an opt-out now from here onwards. In other words, that will dramatically change, we believe, the whole transplant area. And it was very interesting to hear both public representatives who are themselves going through real-life challenges in respect of health and articulating how they've had to navigate the mental health scene. I think Mary Butler has been a particularly strong minister for mental health and dementia. 52 dementia daycare centres now in the country. She has about 39 dementia advisors across the country appointed. When you contrast...
All of which is well and good, but we still have significant waiting list problems across the entire service.
We do, but on dementia, I think most people, and you can talk to the Alzheimer's Society, they will say there's been a sea change in the last 3 or 4 years, mainly, I think, because of the impetus of Mary Butler and her determination to get done what was in the program for government. And I think Stephen Donnelly made a very good presentation last evening as well. And we had then people coming up from the floor people who work in gerontology, who made people who gave their own experiences of life. And okay, you're right, there are waiting times we have to improve upon and so on.
I want to go back just briefly to Sinn Féin. As a potential government partner, I was speaking to a former cabinet colleague of yours by chance that I bumped into a couple of months ago. And I said, what do you think of the makeup of the next government? And he said, definitely Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil. Micheál has been making all of that mood music.
What?
Yep.
God, he needs to... I don't know what he's listening to. No, that's not the case at all. The opposite. I mean, increasingly, I've watched Sinn Féin's performance in the Dáil for the last year and a half, 2 years. And you take the Middle East, you take Gaza. It has gone all over the place on that. And it always is taken by the nose by the far left. Whatever the far left do, Sinn Féin isn't far behind. On economy, on housing. I mean, at one stage on the energy crisis, they had the same proposals as Liz Truss. And you saw what happened with Liz Truss when she tried to do that, and it nearly...
But if the numbers all add up, this is easy to solve, isn't it?
The numbers add up in many different directions, Anton, and I think that lazy sort of analysis that my former colleague has kind of seems to have talked himself into is just that, a lazy analysis. I mean, anyone who looks at the figures over the years, this is wide open. And as I said last evening... It's wide open right now because it's a fragmented Dáil. The current government, if you take the three constituent parties, is well over 40%, or over 40%, and there are other smaller parties there as well. The dynamic of a campaign will be the most important. And if we've learned anything from recent general elections and indeed referendums, it's the last 10 days are crucial. And forget the polls. The dynamic of the campaign will determine this. And it seems to me extraordinarily difficult for us, given our policy platform, to go into government with Sinn Féin, whose policy platform is radically different to ours. For example, they oppose trade agreements. I was back from Canada recently in the St. Patrick's Week. Irish exports to Canada have gone up from 1 billion to 4 billion. That's Irish jobs. Yet Sinn Féin believe we shouldn't ratify the CETA trade deal, which has been responsible for that increase in trade. And they're opposed to trade deals that the European Union does. That's a fundamental difference. And people kind of brush that aside. Oh, it's only trade. I mean, that's the raison d'etre of Irish economic life. We export most of what we produce.
But I assume people will listen to this and they'll think, but if you find yourself around a table negotiating a programme for government, and if the only stumbling block is the CETA trade deal, that isn't going to be that tricky to resolve.
I tell you one thing, that's a more fundamental issue than you're giving it credit for. I mean, Ireland is an exporting nation. It's about time we woke up as a country as to what makes this country tick economically. And sometimes I get frustrated in the Dáil. 50% of the Dáil, I'd say nearly close to 50%, would nearly oppose the trade deal. Like, where do you think people are getting their bread and butter from? It's jobs. It's small companies who are exporting to Canada. It's big companies who are exporting to Canada. It's farmers' milk, it's farmers' beef, it's farmers' byproducts that come from our agriculture is being exported to Canada and other countries all over the world. Like, people need to wake up a bit. And I genuinely believe this. And it really annoys me when I was an enterprise minister years ago. That which enabled Ireland to grow, to develop its economy and then distribute the resources from that economic growth into education, health and services, it's just taken for granted. And it seems that we can sleepwalk our way into policies that would undermine the bread and butter that makes
this. But presumably that is because people will point to things that have a more immediate impact on their day-to-day life as they perceive it. For instance, prime amongst it, housing. We have discovered that you are completely wrong in what you said only, 3.5 months ago? You said it would take us years to get beyond 40,000 houses per annum. Simon Harris says, not a bit of it. We'll do 50,000 straight away.
We're at 33,000 houses last year, which is above the target we had set.
50% short of where Simon Harris says you can get to.
The momentum is going very well under Dara O'Brien, it has to be said. Fianna Fáil took on the housing portfolio. More houses have been built in the last 4 years than the previous 9 years combined. So this government collectively has put huge resources into housing. We will, I think, get to 35,000 houses in 2024 built, maybe more. So we're heading in the right direction.
40% short of what Simon Harris says.
But look, yeah, I'm not into figures in sort of announcing 50 or 60. I want to get there incrementally and make sure that in the future we will have a permanent floor of certain...
So he's plucked it out of the air.
Well, I think what he's... No, I think there's two types of targets. One is what...
Given real ones and...
Well, the population growth. What do we think we need to be doing? And then you have to sort... But and as opposed to what Housing for All has said, looking at all the variables out here 4 years ago, what do we think we can get done realistically? And they've been fairly close to the truth. If we've exceeded the targets. But there's
but they're not within a bull's roar of 50,000.
Between 35,000 and 50,000. And my view is I'm not going to be plucking figures and saying, here's where we're going to be. I think we can get to 40,000 in the next year or two. Now, Simon Harris is talking about the next 5 years. I think we can ultimately get to a 50,000 housing per annum.
Yes, but that the pitch wasn't we'll be there in 5 years. What Simon Harris gave the sense of was we can flick like a light switch and get to 50,000.
We can't do that, and I don't think he's saying that, but we can't do that. That's my point of view all along has been we can't do that. But we can at the same time stretch ourselves, and we can, and I think one of the better things that have happened in more recent times is modern methods of housing construction.
What does it say about the new dynamic?
Houses built faster.
Indeed. What does it say about the dynamic currently in the new cabinet as it stands with the new Taoiseach? If one of his first acts is to put you in a position where you would know as you see him say it, I'm going to have to go out and find a way to tiptoe around his 50,000 number.
No, I'm not tiptoeing around anything. I mean, I've been very consistent, as you've pointed out. I haven't changed what I said 2 months ago in respect of...
But would you have preferred if he had stuck to the programme for government and not create...
We're three separate political parties.
With a shared programme for government.
And so on, and people are entitled to articulate how they see things over the next 5 years. We will be doing the same in this Ard Eisg. This isn't just about the next year in government. Each party is entitled to map out where it wants to go over the next 5 years. And there is no doubt there is a huge need for housing and more housing. Although we've made great progress and there's good momentum, it's not enough. And we have to build more, and we have to build more faster. So we're all agreed on that.
He has the advantage in a party perspective of a mini reshuffle, which to some extent freshens up the offering that Fine Gael is making as we run into the next election. Are you going to follow suit?
No, I mean, I made it very clear that there's 1 year to go in this government. I have experienced ministers in place who know their briefs, who know the officials, who know what our priorities are over the next 12 months, and who are perhaps, I would argue, in a strong position to get those implemented. The planning bill needs to get through. We need to get that future fund bill that Michael McGrath is doing, which is critical for pensions into the future, that we put money aside from revenues that we may not get again, put that money aside to earn more money so that we can guarantee people's pensions into the future, healthcare costs into the future. And then the infrastructure fund is to put money aside so that, say, if we start the metro, if we start a new road, if an economic recession comes along, we have money put aside to finish that road, to finish the projects. Because in the past, when we had cyclical downturns in the economy, very often the first thing to be cut was the capital projects. And we've got to try and protect that into the future. And I think those two funds, that legislation is going through the Dáil at the moment. And that's why I was very anxious to have continuity and stability, because I believe in doing things that matter to people, not just looking for the opportunistic political electoral option. I don't think people like that in the end of the day. So that's why I didn't sort of cut and run when Leo decided to retire. And I felt we had a programme for government that we had signed up to, and we're going to try and fulfil it.
Did those within the party suggest you should have cut and run?
There would have been some, although the majority, when I consulted with them all, supported the position I took. But others, which is natural, could have said, look, would have articulated the view that you articulated.
Have you anything is there anything that Fianna Fáil has as a policy platform that you see as visionary? I'm thinking currently, we're 20 years since the introduction of the smoking ban, which was your policy at the time. And it was funny, I reflect back to media coverage at the time that said this will be damaging for jobs. There was huge criticism about the suggestion of it. It now is so implicit in everything that it seems odd that people opposed it. Is there anything along those lines now where you say, look, there's the kind of headline policy that we want to attach our...
I think it's a very fair point, and it's a very interesting story, not because I was involved in it, but from a public policy analysis point of view. Okay, at the time, yeah, there was huge opposition. Yet, some years later, people are saying, what was the opposition all about? So the lesson for political leadership and for politics is you've got to do the right thing at the time for the long term. I think the elephant in the room today, and there's a few maybe elephants in the room, but one crucial one is the damage social media is doing to young people and to children. And we need a real serious public debate. The research is now there and emerging in terms of the damage that's been done to children and to young people.
What did you make then of Meta dropping the WhatsApp limit from 16 to 13?
Agree with that. I think this is the serious stuff we've got to engage with, and we will engage with the technology companies. And I think that is the big elephant in the room. I think that is the public health challenge of our time. And we've all backed off to a certain extent. people are very concerned about AI, you know.
But is it backed off because it is complex and challenging? Is it backed off because there's such huge money behind the large social media companies? Why is it that there isn't an appetite to legislate and regulate to the extent you're suggesting?
I believe it's the latter point. This is a huge industry. I also feel that we were all brought along on the tide of this is wonderful new technology, it's fantastic, and there's huge positives in online and social media, huge positives. But in terms of education, in terms of connectivity of young people, in terms of bullying, in terms of psychological impacts, the manipulation of algorithms, the apps and so on, that underage children and so on, there are huge issues. I think we've come late to that side of the story around the internet, social media and so forth. It's interesting, a lot of the focus on AI, there's a bit greater preparation around that. But there wasn't the same sort of alarm bells ringing.
But there is all of this. It's funny though, the generally laissez-faire attitude, we were talking to Adrian Wechler about this earlier on, we had the National Cybercrime Prevention Division warning TDs not to use government phones for things like, for TikTok, because the risks of it. And then we have the Taoiseach making TikTok videos from the Taoiseach's office in government buildings.
Yep.
It doesn't speak well to it being taken seriously.
Yeah, I mean, we have been warned, don't use TikTok on government phones. And we have far increased security around our government phones and government email systems. I had to go to court myself to say to Google, would you please tell me who's behind the ads that are on your platforms? And these were fake ads, false, defaming me, but more worse than that, it was basically suggesting to people that I was endorsing cryptocurrency companies. And that, you know, vulnerable people could invest and lose money as a result of that. Now, I've got a lot of material as a result of having to go to court and getting a court order.
But the notion that Taoiseach Tánaiste has to go to court to get that.
That is the point. And we're like, and we get a sense, by the way, that there was cooperation on the basis of the fact that I was a deputy prime minister. We don't know that. We can surmise that. But where's the citizen? What opportunity has the citizen? And we're not finished with that yet, because a lot of material has come in. And what's interesting is this could be part of the model. A lot of revenue is coming in because Twitter recently, I was on X, sorry, no, X, similar thing happened just 2 or 3 weeks before the referendum. I was kind of plastered all over X as endorsing, and it was kind of fake Irish Independent headlines. They're familiar with this, and they had nothing at all, obviously, to do with it. And a real journalist, you know, identified in this fake ad. And I'm encouraging people, apparently, to invest. And I found this ingenious way. And this is all fake stuff. And X say, oh, we're taking it down. But then it reappears again. Now, the problem for us is in politics is, okay, what happens in the middle of a general election if more refined methodology emerges? And we still have to go to court to get court orders. So I think the technology companies have to pony up. You know, they really have to get to grips with their model and really understand that they're part of a society.
Although, as you say, that'll be challenging, because what you're raising goes directly to the heart of where they make much of their revenue. So there's turkeys and Christmas.
That has to be dealt with.
One final thing before I let you go. We have spoken about the next election. Following the next election, there will be another one, which, of course, gives access to the park. What's your thinking in respect of that?
That's a long way off yet. That's 2025.
Yeah, that long now. Time is ticking.
I mean, I think it depends who emerges in relation to that. There'll be a lot of, I presume there'll be a lot of interest.
Would you be emerging in respect of that?
No, and we've a long-standing convention that we don't discuss presidential elections in between, because one has to respect the presidency. And
well,
of course,
setting the election aside, is it a role that has ever interested you?
And he's doing an excellent job, and we work with President Michael D. Higgins, and that's where it is at right now. We'll see what happens. I have a local elections to concentrate on and a European election.
But you've held an awful lot of roles.
Then I have the general election, which will be within the 12 months. So I think now, in fairness, Anton, I have enough on the plate.
Thank you very much, Tánaiste. Tánaiste, Micheál Martin.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.